everyone. Welcome to Podcast Insider. My name is Todd Cochran. I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mike Dell. Mike, how you doing?
Doing great. And I'm really surprised that this year is going as fast as it is because of, you know, everything going on. You'd think it would be dragging, but it's almost October.
I know. It's insane. So we've got a lot of stuff to talk to you about today. We've got news. We've got some best practices. We've got some stuff going on with Blueberry. We've got an interesting interview today that's not an interview. We'll get to that when we get there. But we also have some support issues. But the big, big thing is Amazon kind of launched like stealthy. They didn't really give anybody a heads up, but they went early. I'm of the knowledge that they went early. So we thought we had a couple more weeks and we don't.
Yeah, they went live at least in the US, the UK, Germany, Japan so far. And, you know, it's in the Amazon Music app. I don't know what they're doing with Audible, but the Amazon Music app now has a podcast section. And those of you that submitted your podcast before now are already in there.
That's right. And it's quite fantastic what they've done. It's, you know, it's a first round, but we've got the ability, or what I was really happy about, I should say, is they made it so that they recognize episode art. So if you use the episode art in PowerPress or on blueberry.com, you now will see your episode art show up on your listing over to Amazon, which is nice, because I use episode art for Geek News Central. And that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And also they take the links and formatting from your blog posts, at least, you know, for most hosts, and all those links are clickable and the formatting stays there. It's a class looking system. I haven't played with it a lot, but it looks like a nice, simple, you know, easy to use interface. So hopefully that'll bring some more podcast listeners into the space.
Yep, absolutely. So anyway, if you load Amazon Music / Audible, you're going to find that that new podcast menu item. You can follow shows on there, and you know, and also you can, if you talk to Alexa, though, you have to specifically ask it to play Amazon Music. Say, you have to say, Alexa, play the podcast on Amazon Music, something to that effect. Otherwise it defaults to Apple Podcasts.
Right. And you can set that in your Amazon app there on your phone. You know, when you're setting up your device, you can set what you want the default podcast thing, because I think you can pick from TuneIn and Spotify and a bunch of other ones too. Yeah.
So another move, Jake Shapiro, the CEO of Public Radio and PRX, I believe.
Yeah, Radio moved. Public and PRX. He was the founder of PRX. Done a bunch of other things, but he's moving to Apple.
Yeah, and this is, you know, it's interesting because Apple appears to be hiring a lot of what do you want to call it?
Industry luminaries.
Public folks, yeah.
Yeah. But he's going to be the new head of creator partnerships. So I don't know exactly what that job entails, but good on him for getting in on Apple.
Yeah, I'm getting bugged here by Angelo right now.
Well, we're doing this during business hours, so, you know.
Right, yeah. So, interesting move. So Apple, though, is kind of stacking the deck, it looks like, with the public radio people, which is interesting in itself that this is a second hire of recent times. It's come out of public radio, so I don't know. It's just an interesting development for sure. But Kara Swisher has joined the New York Times with a podcast called Sway. So that's a new addition to the New York Times lineup.
Yeah, she's was pretty famous for a lot of tech reporting in the past. I forget who she was with originally, and then, but she's been quite a big name in the tech industry. You know, as far as a reporter and, you know, online stuff. So it's kind of cool. She moves to New York Times. New York Times really is starting to push more podcasts. So,
you know, Mike, I completely did not pay attention to the Apple announcements this week. I was, as a matter of fact, I ignored it. I was just busy. And but Apple's updates with iOS 14 and iPadOS 14, I guess there's some new things in the Apple Podcasts app. I really have not been paying attention.
Yeah, I did a little bit of looking around once, you know, iOS 14 came out. I got it yesterday, and I think everybody else got it yesterday as well. One of the things they're making suggestions based on what they know about the other podcasts that you're listening to. So you'll get some curated suggestions of podcasts you might want to listen to. That's the only really big thing that I've seen. Apparently it's going to get a major overhaul later this year as well. So we'll see what they do next.
Yeah. But probably some of the more crazy news is that Joe Rogan has put a call out to ask both President Trump and Vice President Biden to appear on the Joe Rogan Experience in a 4-hour presidential debate. I think tentatively the president accepted, but I don't know if they've heard anything from Vice President Biden.
Yeah, I don't think they've heard anything from Joe Biden, but yeah, Trump said he was going to do it if it was going to go. And yeah, that would be quite the episode, I'm sure.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the interesting thing about that would be is that 4 hours, of course, you know, Trump would have no problem being on for 4 hours. But the questions that Joe would ask and the, you know, even to Vice President Biden would be, could be very interesting. You wouldn't have this softball approach to asking questions. There could be some really hard, in-depth questions asked, and with 4 hours, holy smokes, I think that would be incredible. I just don't, I don't know. We'll see if Vice President Joe Biden's, you know, the presidential candidate will accept the challenge. I think it would be awesome.
Yeah, I think it would be good for both of them, I would think. But, you know, you never know. And, you know, with Joe Rogan, you also never know what he's going to say. So who knows?
You know, and it would be kind of cool, you know, if you think about the way Joe does his show sometimes. Sometimes he's partaking of the herbal weed. So maybe...
I would guess that probably wouldn't be the case, but
probably wouldn't happen on that one, would it? But it would be newsworthy if during the interview Joe was smoking a blunt. But
yeah, well, like I said, the chances of this actually happening is probably pretty small. But it's, well, you know, it was a good story anyway.
But maybe, you know, maybe. You know, who knows what's going to happen? It could be crazy. Maybe the president will go solo. I don't know, but I guess we'll see. But it would be good for podcasting to have, you know, these presidential candidates, you know, being, you know, questioned and getting on some of these shows instead of being on mainstream media so much.
Right. Yeah. It was cool. You know, when Barack Obama was on that other show, I can't even think of that show right now. I'm drawing a blank, but you know, that was really cool, sitting president on a podcast.
Yep.
So,
but the first time during an actual campaign, I think, I don't, maybe I'm wrong. Someone will probably correct me because there's been a number of those types of interviews. But anyway, PodFest is doing a podcast masterclass on September 28th, October 2nd. I heard they opened up a second round of tickets. So you're going to have to act fast if you want to be involved in this. And I don't know, I'm not endorsing the masterclass. I have no idea what they're actually presenting. You can look at podfestexpo.online to see if this is something that will match up to what
Yeah, they ran out of the first 200 tickets were free, and they ran out of those in about 90 minutes after they opened it up, and then they put on another 200 tickets at $10 a piece. So that's, you know, if you hurry, if you want to go, and if you hurry, you can probably get one of those $10 tickets. But
again, we don't.
Yeah, we're not endorsing. We're just reporting.
So let's talk about a little best practices, and part of it's audio leveling. So the last episode we did, of course, you're recording the show and I'm recording the show, but you take the master recording and send it over to our Blueberry Pro team at blueberrypro.com. And the editors came back to us and said, hey, Todd was hot. So the feed that I was sending, while it sounded perfect here, and while my recording was good, the recording that you took, I was a little warm.
Yeah, Skype had you a little hot.
Had me a little hot. So leveling can be a challenge. I think this is what we want to talk about today in our best practices. And I think I'll start off by saying, if you're always trying to record at the edge, that's probably not the best thing to do. You want to record a little bit. You know, you don't have to record super hot. You just record at a decent, normal level. And then in post, you can bring the levels up to where they need to be. You can fix low audio, but you can't fix distorted original audio.
Yeah, when it comes in really distorted, you know, a lot of people, you know, you will record at -3 or so to -0 on your meter, if you got a recorder with a meter, and all of them do pretty much.
Yep.
But you know, you want to record at like -12 or so, and then you can bring it up, you know, in the final mix, you know, when you're done doing whatever editing you're going to do and all that. And there are tools for that. One of the old famous ones was put out by the Conversations Network. I can't, Levelator. There we go.
That it's no longer really that tool, and it doesn't level, to my understanding, to the levels we need to be at today. But Auphonic is a great tool that I use personally. And I know that the Blueberry production team use a variety of tools as well for leveling. They don't necessarily, and Auphonic sells a, I don't upload to Auphonic.com. I actually have bought the software version of Auphonic, paid once, paid the commercial price for it. And then I just use that on my desktop for leveling, and it sets the, what they call the LUFS, L-U-F-S, to the correct level.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I don't believe the pro production team, they use other tools and all that. But, you know, we use Auphonic, or I do myself as well. Yep. And, you know, I use the desktop version. But, you know, you can use Auphonic.com for free for 2 hours worth of audio a month.
Just to give it a try.
Yeah. And, you know, what it does is, so Todd and I are in, you know, separate studios, and say he come in low and I'm recording higher, we can run it through Auphonic and it'll level those out so that we both sound where we're supposed to be.
And it
happens sometimes, you know, like sometimes I'll bump a slider and Todd will be really low, or I'll be really low, or whatever. And, you know,
it happens to me a lot when I have guests on, to coming in Skype or Zoom or whatever, because, you know, we don't have time really to kind of set levels. I just make sure that they sound good in my ear, and, you know, maybe I'll come in at, you know, the amplitude on the waveform will be, as an example, an inch high. And then the person that's come in, their levels are like half an inch. It sounded good, but it's definitely off. So Auphonic is a great way for leveling. And of course, you really want to get some awesome sound, go with the Blueberry Pro production with the blueberrypro.com. Addition, of course, for editing and final creation, they do have the ability to do leveling in Adobe Audition, and there is an actual place now in Audition to set your LUFS settings and be able to level your show. So that is possible if you're using Adobe Audition. I personally use Adobe Audition to record my show still, but I will actually edit. I don't record on Adobe Audition anymore. Mike and I both have devices, or it's a Denon device that is basically an audio recorder. We stick an SD card in it and hit record, and the digital audio recorder is fantastic. Now, some people use it as a backup. Mike, you're recording on the Rodecaster Pro and on the Denon Digital Audio, so you've got two recordings of this show.
Right, and then you have one over there in case I screw both of them up.
That's right. So I'm just actually looking over there, and I'm, yep, the record button is pushed. So there's really some ways here to level your show, and I'm a big, big fan of Aphonic. I really am. And of course, if you're a non-commercial show, it's cheaper. It's $99, I believe. I believe if your commercial license is $300, but you're going to get consistent audio at the right level across your entire program. And we, you know, this one product I will endorse. So I do like the Aphonic software. You can use the, again, upload to their website, but here it is again. You have to upload, you have to wait for that, and then you have to re-download it. Why do that when you can run the software application, write it?
Yeah, right, locally.
Yep.
You can batch them up too. If you have a bunch of files you want to level all at once, you just drag them all in there and hit go, and then go get lunch or whatever, you know.
We should have mentioned, Mike, at the beginning of the show, but happy birthday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Happy birthday to Blueberry.
That's right.
Not me.
Yeah, Blueberry, we hit 15 years in business as of Tuesday of this week. And we had a little Facebook Live party, spent about 40 minutes and doing some trivia. And a lot of the team members, Mike, I was kind of surprised. You know, we probably need to do a better job of, you know, and we really don't have like this official indoc for new employees, but we are in part of our new, we'll talk about it here in a second, but we'll probably be putting a lot of these historical dates and stuff up on the website now to give people a more broader look at the team and what we've done as a business over the years. But we had a little trivia going on, talking about our 15 years in business and some milestones. The replay is on Facebook, on our Facebook Blueberry Podcasting group page, but also we're going to add it to the end of the show, right?
Yeah, we're going to add it. Instead of doing an interview this week, we're going to just add it to the end of the show here so you can hear some of the trivia and history and hear some of the other team members that you haven't heard before.
That's right. And if you don't watch the video, you can do so well again. And we encourage you to join our Facebook group if you're not part of it already. Lots of good information shared there, stuff that's coming up, stuff that we do. And of course, we're live right now in our Facebook groups as well. So we've been working a long time, Mike.
Yes.
A long time on the new website. So it's coming very soon.
Yeah, we're in the final stages of making sure we got all our T's crossed and I's dotted and all that good stuff. So hopefully next week, maybe the new blueberry.com will come online.
Yeah, so we're waiting on a couple of small bug fixes with the template. We're working with the development team that did that. As long as those fixes are in, we're hoping for a next week launch. Now, here's the thing, what we've done. And this is a systematic, this is going to be a systematic update to the new site. We've spent a tremendous amount of time getting the infrastructure in place so that the marketing team can fully edit the website to make changes and do, because before we used to use the dev team, it was kind of clunky. So we're going to be rolling out pages little by little. So the first launch, we're going to have the three primary product pages. We have the services page, we'll have the homepage will be updated, and then we're going to start going through and you'll see two or three pages every couple of weeks being basically new landing pages. And so ultimately, when this is all done, we will no longer have the create site. The create site will completely transition to be blueberry.com. And we're excited about this. This is it's a big deal.
And a new support page.
Yeah. So a lot of that's coming as well. So just making it a better experience overall. It's completely about our UI UX updates. It's really about making sure that you as a podcaster have the best experience. As a matter of fact, Mike, you get to see a demo of the, you don't know it yet, but I know you're going to be invited to see a demo of the new dashboard menuing system that we basically finalized in the last UI UX meeting. You and Dave and Sean will get a chance to weigh in and say, okay, you didn't think about this. And before we cut it over to the devs, let them start doing their thing.
Well, you know, we did all that work on PowerPress and updated the UI and that, and we're now going to the dashboard and doing the same sort of thing there.
Yeah.
And the screenshots I've seen look awesome. So yeah, yeah. I can't wait to see the live demo.
Oh, I can't. And I can't wait till it's done. It's stuff takes longer than you would think, but hey, so International Podcast Day is coming up shortly, September 30th. It's a week from Wednesday. And we're potentially, I think she's got a couple of names, but we're potentially, still looking for a second guest to join our Powerful Women session with Mackenzie. So she's got two names. She's researching that right now and looking into those shows. And then she'll make a decision. But if you want to throw your ring in the hat, Mackenzie@blueberry.com. And it's going to be very upbeat. Got an hour to talk about your experience in podcasting, what it's done for your audience, for you. So Mike and I have our guest for our segment. It's going to be Adam Curry. He's going to come on and talk about history of podcasting and about some new initiatives going on. So we've got two fantastic segments for International Podcast Day. Make sure you make some plans for September 30th to hang out with us and podcasters from all over the world. The schedule is up at internationalpodcastday.com. So what else is going on with this, Mike?
Mackenzie put in there, the newsletter's coming out next week. So look for that. For sure. Lots of information. Hopefully by then our new site will be live. So,
yeah. No interview this week. Again, we are going to play our 15-year anniversary live stream at the end of the show. So let's move right into, and again, if you want to be on Podcast Insider, all you got to do is send an email to tell your story of podcasting right here, Todd, Mike, or Mackenzie at blueberry.com. And one of the three of us be happy to interview you and get you on the show. And so you can share your story. I think I've got an interview coming up next week, but plenty of opportunity to be on this podcast. So, Mike, what's going on with support?
Just a couple of things. Since Amazon dropped their thing a little early, we've been getting some inquiries in support, whether we're going to be supporting it. Of course we are. We were expecting it to come out a couple weeks from now.
Right.
But so, yes, we will be having support built into Blueberry and into PowerPress eventually. And everything, you know, everything's cool. I have a link here. You can submit your show over to Amazon. So come to podcastinsider.com, and in the show notes, there'll be a link. And you can submit it directly to them. Just make sure you pick Blueberry as your provider if you're hosting with us. And anybody can submit to them.
That's right.
And then, let's see, the last thing is just one more thing, you know, beating the dead horse again, but push versus pull in RSS. So we get these tickets, I would say probably 5 to 6, 7 of them a week. I put out an episode and it's not in Apple yet, or I put out an episode, it's not in Spotify yet. And basically what that is Spotify or Apple or whatever app you're looking at hasn't got around to pulling it yet into their directory, because podcasting is a pull, not a push.
So. And what that really boils down to is they query your RSS feed. They load it with a machine on their end. It makes a call to your RSS feed and it looks for an update, and that's when it updates. But that machine is looking at 1.3 million podcast feeds.
Yeah, and currently.
It doesn't get to you. You know, when you hit publish, it might be a couple hours before they get to you.
Yeah, some outfits, you know, like Google Podcasts, if you're on PowerPress especially, there's a thing, you know, that causes Google Podcasts to know that you publish an episode, and it will pull it fairly quickly.
Real quick, yeah.
And then, you know, the other thing is you want to, That's why you want to push your listeners to subscribe, because if you subscribe to a feed, your individual device pulls that feed however often you have it set to do it, but you know, mostly within an hour is usual. And it's available the minute you hit publish. So if you know, if you hit publish and then somebody comes to their app, opens it up and says, hey, has he got any more episodes? Your app's going to pull that feed and there's that episode, even though it may not be in the directory.
That's right. So again, the directory is for people that haven't discovered your show already and those that haven't subscribed. And this is why, again, Mike said you want to encourage your listeners at every moment and on every episode to actually subscribe to your podcast. That's the way they get your content immediately, essentially immediately, because we see podcatchers downloading that content really within seconds of someone publishing a new episode, because it just happens to hit the feed at the right time and immediately starts being downloaded. That's why for subscriptions, at least, that's why you see a high number of downloads within the first 24 hours that your show is online. And then everything that happens after 24 hours is typically those that are not subscribed to your podcast, or maybe someone hasn't been connected to Wi-Fi or something like that, to be able to download your show if they're subscribed or they're actively clicking play. So anyway, so let's go ahead, Mike, let's wrap it up here and don't leave, because we're going to transition to the to our 15-year celebration audio. And but I'm Todd at blueberry.com, and Mike?
I'm Mike at blueberry.com. And of course, if you have support issues, support at blueberry.com works.
So for those of you listening to the podcast, not live, we're going to cut just about, well, I'm not going to click my fingers yet because I don't think I'm done. But as soon as I click my fingers, we will be on our 15-year anniversary live audio recording to happen. Thanks, Mike, for being with us today. And for those of you that are still listening to the actual podcast, here we go. In the chat, say you're here, and that'll get you entered into our contest today. We're going to give away a Rodecaster. We're going to give away a couple of microphones. So just by checking in, you'll be all set up. But you can see the whole team up now on the main screen. And I think what we'll do is we'll just go around real quick and everyone can say hi and introduce themselves and let you guys know what they do here at Blueberry. So, Mike, you want to go first?
Sure. I'm the customer support manager up here in Blueberry North in Traverse City, Michigan.
Dave?
My name is Dave, and I am a technical support analyst. I work with Mike and Sean, who's not here yet, to answer all of your Blueberry support questions.
Sydney?
Hi, I'm Sydney, and I'm the marketing intern.
Mackenzie? Oh, you're muted.
Off to a great start. I'm Mackenzie, I work in marketing.
All right, Jonathan?
I'm Jonathan. I'm one of the developers.
Ben?
I'm Ben. I'm also a developer.
Jeff Hines?
Hi, I'm Jeff. I'm the Chief Growth Officer for Raw Voice.
Jeff? Second Jeff?
Hi, Jeff Levine, Marketing Manager.
All right, Patrick?
Hi, I'm Patrick Hubble, and I am an intern with the software development team.
Who did I miss? Aaron?
Hi, I'm Aaron. I'm a developer as well.
Lena?
Hi, I'm Lena. I'm a software developer as well.
Brian?
Hey, y'all. I'm Brian. I oversee creative direction of the company.
Kyle?
Hi, I'm Kyle, and I am an intern with the software team.
All right, and Angelo.
Hi, I'm Angelo. I'm a CIO.
So we didn't have the whole team here, but we got a good number of folks. But today, really, what we want to do is have a little bit of fun with you. And again, if you're just joining the live chat, make sure you say hello. And that way, that'll get you entered into our giveaway, our prize giveaway. But today is Blueberry's 15th anniversary, and we're excited to be able to share with you a little Blueberry trivia and just have a little fun. And we're going to ask some questions, and some of them are going to be multiple choice, because I don't think quite everyone's going to have maybe know the exact answer that we have. But don't worry, we'll get background on it, because some of the stuff maybe only certain team members will know. And if that's the case, I'll let them expand upon it to So I guess the first things up, really, the first question I have is, which of you knows what was the genesis moment that made me realize there was a business potential for what has become Blueberry Podcasting? All right, Mike, I knew you were going to be able to answer this. Go ahead.
Well, I'm pretty sure it had something to do with GoDaddy approaching you about advertising in your show. And then they ask you if you had other podcasters that wanted to advertise.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. GoDaddy, I had a discussion with Chris Redlinger, and she asked me, do you know other podcasters that would like to advertise GoDaddy? And I did. And from that was really the kind of the idea that spawned the company. But so I guess that really then leads to question number two. And Mike, you can't answer this because you know it already, but how did I find the team to start Raw Voice, which most of you probably don't even know who Raw Voice is. Raw Voice is the parent company of Blueberry Podcasting. Was it A, did I run an advertisement? B, did I put a notice out on Facebook? Did I put a notice on LinkedIn? Or did I announce it in a podcast? Does anyone know the answer? Go ahead, Dave.
I believe you kind of put an ad out on your show in an episode.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I put an announcement out on the show saying, hey, I'm looking for some folks that are interested in a business idea. We're going to meet. And we used free conference call and had a discussion. And from that was really, believe it or not, the company was born from folks that were listening to my show. And then Brian actually knew Angelo, and Angelo was not a listener of the show. And Brian invited Angelo on the call, and that's really how we kind of ended up with the first core group that started the company. And I think one of the things that many of you probably don't know, that Blueberry really wasn't our first product. So, and again, everyone out excluded, what was our first podcast site as a company before Blueberry itself was launched? Does anyone know what site that was? Oh, Mike, you can't answer. You know the answer. Brian, I'm going to let you answer this one because you were here from the get-go.
I just don't remember.
Okay. We launched Podcaster News, and it was a site that was going to be set up to basically allow people to have, we're going to have local little news snippets. It's kind of almost what CNN's Man on the Street became. We wanted to have local news from different areas across the country, and that was kind of our first foray into the podcasting space. And it's ultimately the software that Angelo designed that runs blueberry.com had its birth point really running that website. It was a full back-end publishing system. And we did that for a little while and realized that this wasn't big enough. It wasn't getting enough traction. And we were working on some other stuff with advertising at the time. So I get into some of my further questions. But so here's, everyone probably knows who the first advertiser we did a contract with. But does anybody know who the second advertiser we signed up to actually do advertising for podcasters? Does anyone know who that was? Oh, my goodness.
I do.
Mackenzie may know. Go ahead, Mackenzie.
I know GoToMeeting was pretty early on.
Yeah, so Citrix GoToMeeting was the number two advertiser with us, and then all their products. And to be honest with you, and for the rest of you that are watching, Blueberry would not exist today had it not been for Citrix GoToMeeting and spending the type of dollars they spent with us and doing advertising in the early days, and bringing that money to advertisers. We would not be here. You know, GoDaddy spent a lot of money, but Citrix spent a lot more. And the company really grew up with having, you know, Citrix GoToMeeting and the revenue coming in from that and the revenue split. So they were really, really instrumental in our early days. But here's a question we get asked by listeners and customers and folks all the time. And this question came from Barry. Why did we decide to use fruits and vegetables in our branding? Why were we Blueberry? You know, why not? You know, what was the reason we chose that word with no E's? Does anybody know? Okay, I made these questions way too hard.
I'm
sharing history with the audience here.
Well, so, I know the slogan was like fresh organic media or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So Raw Voice, our slogan was fresh organic media. And that leads to the next question, but we were sitting around a table, probably drinking too much alcohol and trying to brainstorm ideas of a company. Angela, do you remember those evenings and those cold evenings? And again, don't tell anybody where we were, because I'm gonna lead that into a question. But do you remember having those late evening discussion? And well, Jeff, I think you were there too at that time.
Well, let's just say this: at the time, probably the most popular website at the time was Flickr, and they didn't spell it the way they do now either.
So it was very popular in those early .com times, I guess, or the times that we launched the company. That
Web 2.0.
No one was using vowels in company names. It was like, you know, it was, you didn't buy a vowel, you left them off. You know,
I think so, even Twitter didn't have vowels at one time.
There was a theory that if the domain name had more than four characters, it was too long, and seven was the absolute longest. Does it take too long to type?
So
the other piece was nothing else was available. I don't know how many times we were searching, just typing in the search engines with what we thought was a unique, great idea, and it was already taken. So a lot of it was just what we ended up with.
And, you know, and people say, well, why didn't you call it podcast host or something like that? Well, a lot of those domains were available, but at the time, Apple was being really picky, and they had actually done some takedowns on some apps that had pod in the name. So we were worried about using, some sort of pod name in our business name for fear that Apple would come in and basically take us down. So that was another reason the word podcast wasn't submitted in the space at that time. But so I kind of gave a little bit of a hint. We used to do these winter retreats all the time, and we picked a city that we spent three, four, five of those retreats, winter retreats, in this very snowy city. So the question, well, I've already ruined my multiple choice. So was it Chicago, Honolulu, or Columbus? Which of the three do you guys think it was? Someone guess.
Chicago.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time in the Windy City. That was where we did our retreats. And it's kind of funny we called it a retreat. You know, you think you would do a retreat in Honolulu, but we didn't have the budget to fly the whole team to Honolulu. Had the budget to fly me back. But yeah, we did it in Chicago. So here should be a simple one for everyone. Who was the first full-time employee of Blueberry?
Angelo.
Angelo was the first full-time employee. So oftentimes we get asked, why Columbus? Why did you build the company in Columbus? Why not somewhere else? Well, it's because Angelo lived in Columbus. And Angelo is the first time full-time employee. Angelo, how long was it before you moved in? This is our third office. Where was your first office? You co-rented from your brother-in-law or something like that, if I remember correctly, right?
Right. So the first office we moved in, I think, late 2008. It was over by the Budweiser plant, north side of Columbus. And then 2015, I believe, we moved over to upper Arlington area. And now we're on the very north side of Columbus since, 2018?
So the next question, again, I'll get into some more current timeframes, but I'm still doing a little bit of time back machine or walk back machine or whatever you want to call it. And so do you think Blueberry had a podcasting booth at the first podcast expo in 2005? The answer to that is no, we didn't have a booth because we were brand new. But actually, that's the first time we actually met as a team, as we met there and walked the floor. We did something you're not supposed to do. We came in with a suitcase of swag and handed stuff out, and pens. And we really, that first year, we didn't know the rules of trade shows. But the following year, we had one. So I will ask this question, because I know I've talked about this from time to time in the office for folks that have been around. What were we really famous for at our Ontario, or actually not even Ontario, but Vegas and a variety of places where there were conventions? What were we famous for? Was it blueberries at the booth, or was it our after hour parties?
We need pictures.
What'd you say, Mike?
I said, we need pictures.
Oh, you need pictures. Okay. Let's see here. Let me bring up a picture. And so that everyone can see. Let me see if I got the right button here. So here's a party from the early days. And yes, we were known for our parties. We had really awesome parties in our suite. Here's another one. That's Brother Love. For those of you that don't know, rocker out of New York, or is he Brooklyn? Jeff, you can tell me better more about Brother Love.
He's in Nashville now, as far as I know.
Yeah. So anyway, it was always fun. Our parties always had plenty of liquor, and we actually had a little bit of a strategy. We would book the rooms either side of us, across the hall. We didn't buy them below or above, but we really did that as a sound buffer so that the rest of the hotel guests wouldn't complain about us. And it worked out real good. When other competitors' parties were getting shut down, we were still rocking. So we were pretty known for our parties. And one of our biggest parties we ever did was in Vegas. And if any of you have ever went to Las Vegas and ate at the Peppermill, we rented the casino part in the back of the Peppermill. And it's this red soiree nightclub feel. It's really cool. So even if you've never ate at the Peppermill in Vegas, it's on Las Vegas Boulevard. Make sure you stop there, go in and go into the back of the casino area. Well, anyway, we had an Elvis impersonator.
Midget Elvis, wasn't it?
Yeah, midget Elvis impersonator, or small people. Yes, I don't think he wears that word anywhere, well, Mike.
That's what they call. That's what he called himself.
And we had a showgirl, and we had a magician too, right? I can't remember. Was it a magician?
Yeah, we had a magician, and it was quite the party.
Yeah,
for sure.
10 grand of alcohol we drank. It was good. So yeah, we were known for our parties. So here's a simple one that you guys should be able to get. Come on now. So where is the Blueberry Studio located?
Well, I guess I'll take that one. It would be in our offices in Columbus.
Which you are in, Jeff. So it's probably about 25 feet from you, yeah?
I can see it from here.
That's right. And actually, Mackenzie will be in the Blueberry Studio on International Podcast Day when we have our event for International Podcast Day. Some of these next questions are just year-based, and if any of you have been reading anything we've done with the website design, what year was Blueberry.com launched? Jeff, you should know this because we've been going over this timeline. Do you remember?
Well, I'm not cheating with the timeline in front of me, but I'm going to say 2006.
Yeah, 2006. And this is what it looked like in the early days. This is what that's what the website looked like. We've come quite a ways with the website since then. We should have more screenshots of that, but we don't. But that was the way the site looked like for a long time. I don't know. How long did we have that design, Brian?
Probably at least 5 years, at least.
Yeah. So PowerPress was kind of a pivotal moment for the company. It was Angela's idea. At the time, there was a WordPress plugin called, PodPress, was it, if I remember correctly? And it was not being maintained anymore. And Angela, you want to talk a little bit about the history of PowerPress? And if you remember what date or when we launched it, what year?
Yeah, August of 2008, I believe. And it really stemmed from, at the time, we weren't doing hosting yet. We were still doing mainly advertising with the podcast. And it stemmed from podcasters telling us, my website's broken, I can't do the ad deal. And that is, you can't have that. You can't have a podcast website go down when you're trying to run ad deals. So that's why we kind of jumped into it.
So that leads me to the next question. The timeline's a little fuzzy on when we started offering hosting, but didn't we start planning that in 2008 as well?
Yeah. So we did have hosting, but it was mainly for people that said, hey, we really like your tools. How can I buy them? We didn't actually start really advertising what we did until, I think, late 2009.
Yeah. So we kind of got in. We weren't in as early as others, but again, the hosting thing kind of evolved because of some things were happening with the business space as well. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. Many of you probably have used this tool, but CastFeed Validator.com was a place where you can go get an RSS validated. And we acquired that after 2010. So the question is, was it 2015, 16, or 17? See, I even had to go look because I wasn't for sure myself.
I'll guess 16.
I was going to say 17.
It is. 17. It's 17. Yeah. And at the same time, I'll back up a little bit. What year did we launch the Scribe on Android.com? And I want to talk a little bit about what that impact has been. Was that 2014, 15, or 16?
15.
2015.
It was 15.
I remember that because Angelo did the finishing touches in the hotel room when we were at NAB just before we announced it.
You know, we've launched Blueberry the same way at Gnomedex. I was literally like 10 minutes from walking on the stage to demo Blueberry, and Angelo texted me and said, it's ready. And actually he said, but don't load this page or this page. So I had to have screenshots of the page, because if I had loaded it during the demo, the site would have collapsed. So we had all like 80% of it was ready with a couple of pieces. So it's not the first time we've delivered a product or launched something right before an event. And, it's almost kind of a company motto, you know, launch within 30 seconds of demoing it. But Subscribe on Android really did something unique, and it's being used a lot today. Is Google Podcasts didn't join the fray until a couple of years ago. So we were helping listeners be able to get onto the Android platform with the 13 app partners that we work with that have basically implemented Subscribe on Android. And all it really is for those of you that don't know, is once our listener has installed an app that is supported by Subscribe on Android, when they click on a Subscribe on Android subscribe link or subscribe button, it has the same effect as Apple Podcast did. It launches the app and allows you to one click subscribe. So that is one of the things that we're really proud of. And unfortunately, a lot of other podcasting companies never adopted this, but it gave all of our listeners, all of our podcasters, I'm sorry, a huge, huge advantage in gaining Android listeners when other companies were struggling, because this came default in PowerPress, part to be on your sidebar, and people can subscribe and gain audience share. No one else had the guts to implement Subscribe on Android. So that's why today, so many Blueberry podcasters doing the Blueberry way of podcasting have much more higher percentages of Android adoption than really anyone else in the space. So moving up in the timeline a little more, what was the year that we launched the free WordPress sites?
Is that 2018?
It was 17. So you're close. Now, most of you won't know this number. Angelo probably will. Maybe Ben will know. What was the year that PowerPress achieved 1 million downloads? Oh, it is definitely before your time, Ben.
My guess would be 2015?
2017 is when we achieved a million downloads with the PowerPress plugin. It still remains today the number one. So now I'm going to get in some dates that are a little easier for the team, the rest of the team that have been here for a shorter amount of time. So we launched advertising injection when, and I know the developer that built it is on the call. So do you remember when we launched it?
I think it was 2018.
Actually 2019.
19.
Okay. Yeah. It's either beginning of 2019 or very end of 2018. I knew it was somewhere in there.
Yeah. So not too long. Now, I know Lena knows this number. Lena, when did we achieve IAB certification? Because you worked heavily on that. Time flies when we're having fun.
Yeah, it's hard to remember this. It's funny. Like, 2019.
Yeah, because it was worked on. Well, let's see. Let me remember. Do I have the number right, Angela?
December 2018, I believe.
Oh, December 2018. So it was officially 18, almost 19. You're right. So we got it just before Christmas of 2018. So I was even wrong. So penalty box for me. The network plugin. When did we launch the network plugin? This one should be, I hope, easy.
2019.
Yeah, 19 as well. And the rest of these are 2020. We launched private internal podcasting this year. We launched private podcasting, and we launched the services, pro services offered on AWS Marketplace. So we've done a lot this year. So you look at the stuff that we've done, it's been pretty amazing. But a few years ago, we came up with a slogan, and it's been modified just a little bit. And Mackenzie, you probably know this more than maybe others, but when we say create, upload, and publish, what are we kind of referring to there?
You create your episode, and then you upload it to PowerPress, and then you're able to publish it. And you do those last two things all basically together.
And it's part of what we call the Blueberry Way here. You know, we really try to make it easier for podcasters to be able to, once they've created their audio file, to be able to just, you know, one click, upload it, and then hit publish. Of course, that's after you've, you know, you completed your show notes, descriptions. And that really what sets us apart from many other of the podcast hosts out there. And the Blueberry Way, we're trying to continue to push that as a methodology and a way of, I guess, a way of podcasting life, to be able to publish your show and feel that you've got
Box for me. The network.
Oh, I was getting feedback from somebody.
You're welcome.
So anyone else have anything they want to expound on the Blueberry Way?
No, we talk about it a lot on Podcast Insider. So I won't expand on it here, but if you guys aren't subscribed to our company podcast, go to podcastinsider.com.
So we've got a lot of people in the chat room. What do folks have questions for us? Has any questions come up in the chat room that you've got for the Blueberry team? You want any insider info or anything like that? And again, if you're joining late, make sure you say hello, because everyone that says hello will be entered in the drawing for the Rodecaster and for the microphones. We'll give everyone a few minutes. Is anyone, you know, I guess I'll just kind of open it up for, you know, Jeff, how you think this ride's been over these many years?
It's been fantastic.
Brian, can you believe it's been 15 years already?
No, especially after seeing those old pictures, it's kind of crazy. Now, you know, the one word I think about this ride is it's been insane, and that's a good version of the word insane.
So there's a picture of a little younger.
To say, who are those kids?
And there's Angelo. You know, this is actually the meeting that was the weekend where we decided to move forward with Blueberry. And that's how we kind of did our retreats and we, you know, they're not much different today than they were before. We get our laptops together, gather around at a table and have, you know, pull off sheets that we can tape to the, you know, side of the wall. And it's truly, you know, it's not just drinking whiskey, which we do a little bit of that, but it's also, you know, getting down and, you know, taking the family of you know, all of you that basically support us with your subscriptions and, you know, buying our service plans. We take your ideas, and this is where we often do, you know, the metal hits the road. And be honest with you, that's kind of expanded, though, because now when we do these meetings, we bring the overall team in, just like we're doing now. And we have, you know, back and forth about what we're doing and what we should be doing. And so, you know, even though we used to, in those early days, it was, you know, was just a small core of us, because that's all there was. There wasn't like this big team. Now the rest of the team gets input and feedback. And Mackenzie, you've been with us a long time. How do you think the journey's been?
I started in March of 2015, and that was a big start with some of the other services that we were doing, like subscribe on Android by email. And it's a lot that we have done in the past 5 years that I've been here. Quite a bit. I've seen a lot of changes.
Douglas Reed says, how are you guys handling the lack of conventions this year? Going a little stir crazy? I am. Anybody else going a little stir crazy?
That's exactly what's happening.
Yeah, I haven't been on an airplane or on an airliner in, over a year. It's crazy.
So, Angelo, you're getting a little sun out in the nice day today. You know, what's your reflection on the past 15 years?
Well, you know, right now I'm thinking about all the crazy things that we've encountered. Including Todd mentioned at the first podcast expo. And here's a little tidbit about the very first one. Podcasting was added to it about 2 months before the conference happened. It was added in September or October, I believe, because before that it was only going to be about portable media and portable devices. And then the even crazier thing, and I'm not making this up, is it was in the Ontario, California Convention Center, and they divided it in half, and next door was the Porta Potty Expo at the same time.
That's true. So, hey, Jeff, I think of all of us, you have fared the most with keeping your hair? Because if we look at your Hollywood Squares photo right now and look at this photo from now, what year do you think this was? And I know what year it was, but what year do you think it was?
Are you asking me? I know what year it was.
Oh, what year was it?
It looks like 2007.
Ooh, you're wrong. That was 2009. Was 2009.
It was Vegas.
Yeah. But that was the year we had the theme Blog Louder, because blogs were still cool in 2009.
Well, that was still called the Blog World Expo at the time.
It was Blog World Expo. And then here is a sign. What year do you think this sign is? It's 2008. So you can see Brian barely in the frame, half his face. You can see our banner was, you know, think about where we've come on. You know, Jeff Levin and Aaron Hope, you guys look, those were our high powered graphics back in the day.
That was expo in Vegas.
Yeah.
So,
and right behind there was a burger eating contest, I remember. And one of our team members was on that, or did that burger eating contest, who's no longer working with us now. And I think he's a vegan now too. But anyway.
So Dave Lee says, I still have my Blog Louder shirt. Well, that's good, Dave. Thank you so much for having that. That's Dave Lee. Scott says, is that Jamie Davis? Yes, that was Jamie. That is Jamie Davis in the background. Jamie was doing an interview. He was doing the PodMedic podcast at the time. And Brett says, I went there to work Portal Media deals for an MP3 player manufacturer spun out of Motorola Podcast Expo. So, we've got lots of more.
Look at your hair.
Oh, yes, I did have. But you see that bald spot? You can barely see it. The transition to bald had already begun. But if you've joined us late, make sure you check in now. Please do on Twitter, on either any of the Facebook pages that we're live on. Say hello. Because we want to account for you, because after the show, each of you are going to be assigned a random number. And then probably within 30 minutes of us closing, we will make an announcement on who won the Rodecaster and the two mics. So pretty good odds today, I think, for all of you that have joined us. So we're excited to give some stuff away. I guess before we get out of here, we've got two of our interns that are with us today, and I want to give them a chance, because they've just really kind of been introduced to the company, been here a couple of weeks worth working with us. And I know that you have no idea about all this history and stuff, but Kyle, I'll give you an opportunity. How's your experience so far been working with the Blueberry team?
It's been really amazing so far. Everyone's really nice and welcoming, and super helpful, which is really nice. You know, obviously wish it was in person, but it's doing really well.
And Patrick?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun so far. I feel like I've accomplished a lot already, and I'm really enjoying the scrum management style that we do. It's a lot different than what I've done before. And I just like how it's a lot easier to collaborate with everybody, even though we're working remote. So yeah, it's been a great time.
Sydney, how about you? Have you had a good time so far? Or?
Yes, I agree with Patrick. I like the way that we do the 2-week sprints, and I think it's really helpful in being able to connect with people so easily virtually.
And just as one of the tenets here of the company, we do pay our interns. We appreciate and value our interns. I know a lot of companies still hold by that model that they don't necessarily pay interns. We do here at Blueberry, and it's important for us to acknowledge that. It's one of the things that we want to make sure that we acknowledge. Aaron's just jumping in, or maybe jumping back in.
I'm back.
Okay. So anyway, I guess unless anyone's got anything else to say, any closing words before we wrap up this live stream?
Yeah, Kirk in the chat room, Kirk Corliss asks, what's in the works for 2021?
Can we say?
We can't say.
We can't say.
And we could tell you, but then we'd have to send the assassin.
No.
Go
ahead.
I was thinking, though, we should grill Todd with questions. See if he knows something.
Oh, that would be okay, too.
Like, when was the first year we started giving free stats accounts to people?
Oh, that would have been 2006.
Oh, 2007. Before that, it was only internal. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good one. We should have been given away in 2006 in hindsight.
Yeah, well, we were, it's like we discovered gold and then we only used it for our ad campaigns at first.
Yeah. Yeah. So any others that come back at me? Any other ones?
I have one for the newer members on the team.
Go ahead, Mike.
The office that we were in just prior to the one that we're in now, what famous tech company was that before?
Was it Compaq?
Bonk.
CompUSA.
Bonk. Ah. Wrong. CompuServe.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's what it was.
I've heard the story in my visits to Columbus.
We had a file cabinet that had CompuServe sticker on it. I mean, how cool is that? The crazier thing is that CompuServe in 1999 was bought by AOL, so there was also AOL stuff everywhere.
You didn't find a stash of 1 billion CDs laying around, did you?
They mailed them out already.
Yeah, and before AOL bought them, they belonged to H&R Block, of all places.
Oh, here's one. Oh, here's a trivia question, and Michael just reminded me. So, Michael in the chat room, what year did you get your show notepad? And Brian, what year did we develop the longest standing piece of swag we've ever handed out, the show notepad? Do you remember what year that was?
Off the cuff, no, but if you gave me a minute, I could figure it out by looking into my archives. I'm going to guess and say 05 or 06.
Yeah, 06. It was one of the first pieces of swag, because what we wanted to do is we wanted you go to a conference, right? And of course, then no one had iPads, that didn't exist. And you had to write what you learned at the conference on a piece of paper. So we created show notepads that truly were designed on how I did my show. And they've evolved over the years, of course, but it still remains today probably the biggest piece of swag we give out. It goes to every conference. People take show notes.
How many boxes of those do you have in your garage, Angelo?
None. They're all in the office now. Thank goodness.
I have a piece of trivia or comment to make. It's a comment. Todd, you reminded me. Angelo and I were at a PodCamp Toronto, and we were giving away something that nobody wanted because they said it was just a big phone. That was the iPad, the first version of the iPad. Nobody wanted to enter the contest for an iPad because they're like, what's the point of this? It's just a big phone. Remember that, Angelo?
There were, 1,300 people at this conference, and we only got about 40 people to enter in. They're like, I don't want this. That's going to be a folly from Apple. They were all saying that. I'm like, are you kidding me? Yeah. And I'm using one right now.
And, you know, and it is kind of ironic. We've had a few of those types of things happen in the past. But, you know, one thing would be kind of cool, Brian, is if you could find all the versions of the show notepads, and it could almost be made out of a poster now, because I think there's been 5 or 6 versions of that thing.
That's easily doable. I have them all.
Yeah. Over the years. So,
I have the paper versions of all of them, I think.
Yeah. Before we do that, let's get Aaron Hope to make a new one.
There you go.
Yeah.
So Aaron, you've had a lot of influence on something we're about ready to launch, and I just want to acknowledge it here in the show.
Yes. No spoilers.
No spoilers, but sometime next week, we're going to be relaunching blueberry.com. We've got a whole new page design. We've got I'm really excited to let you all see it. Aaron has done the heavy work on the design on this. Now the marketing team has come up with the layouts and everything else, but, so just give credit where credit's due. Aaron, I just want to tell the audience here, you get to be showcased next week with your creative.
Yeah, I'm really excited. It's been a long time coming, and you know, it is the beginning of something a lot bigger and a lot better. So can't wait for everyone to see it.
Yeah, we did have a development group that helped us with some of the underpinnings of it. It makes us a little more agile in being able to update it and change it. So I'm excited to show the entire community it. And I guess for better words, be a little cooler. I think that's the key word there. But let's see. I'm looking at the chat room. I don't see anything else. Anybody see anything in their chat rooms? Are we good to pull the plug here on everyone and let people go back to their day? All right. Well, everyone, thank you so much for hanging out with us today in our little just a little fun 15-year celebration. We're not shooting off.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday, Blueberry. And
let's see, if we were at the office, we'd have a big cake probably.
Well, let's hope for the 20-year we can do it all in person. Have a big bash.
There you go.
And for the rest of the team members that weren't here, this is just a portion of the team, but we want to thank everyone that joined us today on the live stream, and we'll be announcing the winner of the prizes here in short order. We'll kick out of here, but for myself, I do appreciate all of you that have tuned in, and we do thank you so very, very much for our business, for your business, and look forward to continue to serve you as we move forward over the next 5 to 10 years. All right, everybody, take care. We'll see you next time.